We're launching a new series today on how political rhetoric in America has gotten so weird. And joining us to try to figure all of that out is New York Times op-ed columnist Gail Collins. Gail, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And you've been making a habit of collecting and chronicling some of the silly things that politicians have been saying. How do you find these things?
Well, they're sort of all over. You kind of have to avoid tripping over them. There's so much stuff out there, especially since tweeting began.
So you
tweeting
think
is a gift of God to me, anyway.
Well, who's doing the tweeting? The politicians themselves, or people who have caught the politicians?
Well, it's the politicians themselves, and the good question is whether it's actually them or not. You know, when in Alaska there was the famous victory, really just this week, when Joe Miller, who was one of the Tea Party people, beat the incumbent Senator Lisa Murkowski. And then they became instantly paranoid that the Republican National Committee was going to try to help Murkowski win in the recount. And then Miller's basically tweeting a comparison between Lisa and a prostitute.
Oh. What's
the difference between selling out your party's values and the oldest profession? And then, you know, outrage was, you know, raised. And he instantly said, well, I didn't actually do it. It was a staffer, you know. Which is true of most of this stuff, I think. You know, Sarah Palin was sort of referring to George Orwell in her tweet about the Obama speech, and that I don't know if Sarah Palin was really thinking about George Orwell. I'm suspecting a staffer, but I could be wrong.
Well, she wrote or Twittered or whoever did it, his speech may make you want to dig out your old Orwell books so rewritten history can be deciphered. I'm not exactly sure what that means. But,
well, that would be more Palin-esque in that way.
Yeah.
It's very hard to keep the sentence together.
But do you have any sense of what she's talking about? Is she talking about Orwell on doublespeak?
I think she's talking about rewriting history in the sense that some of the Republicans have been interpreting Obama's speech as trying to take credit for the surge, or not acknowledging that he didn't support the surge in the beginning. So that would be my deconstruction of the tweet. And I can't believe that I've come to this point in my life where I'm deconstructing tweets for a living. But that's my thought.
Well, rewriting history isn't only done on tweets and blogs and on Facebook. A number of politicians have been caught saying the wrong things in old-fashioned ways, like making false claims about serving in Vietnam or having a law degree.
Yeah, and you know, I've been thinking a lot about that because there's so much of that out there this year. It's just absolutely incredible. The Republican candidate in Illinois, every day it seems like there's a new thing that he didn't almost drown when he claimed he almost drowned. I mean, everything that he writes seems to be somehow changed around. And I think, to me at least, what people want to know basically is that the person is not crazy, because there are some previous candidates in history that have been so completely off the wall about making things up that it became clear they were not living in the real world that the rest of us were. So that's sort of the first stop you want to make when these things come up. I mean, did they imagine that they were in combat with the CIA when they were actually at law school in Bermuda or something? And so we start there and go backwards.
You also have to wonder whether they're totally aware of who they're talking to. In your column last week, you noted that Alan Simpson, who's the co-chair of the president's bipartisan National Commission on Fiscal Responsibility and Reform, remarked that Social Security is a milk cow with 310 million teats. Regulations that prohibit us on the FCC prohibit us from using the word he actually used. But what did you make of that comparison? And should he have made it in an email to Ashley Gordon, executive director of the Older Women's League?
Well, when you're going to say something that's really ageist and sexist, you probably should not send the thing to the director of the Older Women's League. I would say that would be my first rule if I was going to be a politician. But Simpson is one of those guys who thinks of himself as sort of a colorful politician, you know, especially a colorful old codger politician who can say anything. He kind of, you know, runs on that. But I'm not sure you can really do that anymore. It's very hard to do that when so many people are tweeting and Twittering all around you.
Well, Mr. Simpson has apologized for his comments, but there are still calls for him to resign or be fired, although the president seems to be rather tolerant of this sort of thing. Do you think Social Security will become an issue again as we head into the 2010 midterms?
Oh, so much so. The Democrats are going to beat Social Security over the head of every single Republican who has ever suggested that possibly maybe any change whatsoever should be made, and it's going to be huge. Just huge. And I can understand Obama's feelings about Simpson, because really, the Social Security changing the retirement age, doing anything to make it less attractive, is just totally gone. Dead, toast, buried forever this year.
Yet Republicans continue to bring proposed changes in Social Security up.
Yeah, and, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. But, you know, it's been a bad year for Democrats with older voters, and they've always had a lot of success in the past, and just, you know, they're going to hurt your Social Security. And a lot of the people who have shown some sympathy for the Tea Party movement don't seem to actually appreciate that when you talk about cutting spending and cutting the deficit, that that has anything to do with Social Security. And this whole campaign is going to be about reminding them. They'll be tweeted every day.
There was a round of primaries last week, and one of the candidates who lost her bid for a congressional nomination was Arizona State Senator Pamela Gorman. Didn't she have a particularly aggressive ad campaign?
This amazing ad, which everybody should go online and look at,
Should we play an excerpt from it?
Please, it's great.
This year, a lot of folks think this is our best shot at changing Congress. Of course, that all depends on the caliber of our candidates. Meet Pamela Gorman, candidate for Congress in Arizona 3. Conservative Christian, and a pretty fair shot.
And the ad goes on to point out that
this is my favorite ad of the year so far, I must say.
She got a perfect score from the NRA, which should have been obvious anyway.
And she didn't win. She only got like 5,000 votes, in a moment in which there were, I think, 10 candidates in the race. So it was very hot that day. So my theory was that 4,000 of those were hallucinating and thought they were somewhere else entirely.
Well, there are people who'll vote for a certain candidate no matter what happens. We saw that in Florida with a guy who was caught going to prostitutes. But we don't want to give the impression that Republicans have a monopoly. Well, no, that was in Florida. Where is that? Where is Vitter?
Oh, Vitter is in Louisiana.
Louisiana.
He's running now for another term.
Despite a number of scandals. But we don't want to give the impression that Republicans have a monopoly on silly political rhetoric, do we?
Oh, heavens no. I would never do that, I guarantee you.
Well, what are some of the weirder things that you've seen from Democrats?
I'm trying to think of what the weird... You know, they're so pathetic this year that they hardly dare to come out of their little shells and say anything about anything. Kendrick Meeks, who was the Democrat who did finally win the primary for the Senate nomination in Florida, had these sort of up from lowliness, I guess, ads in which he talked about being the son of a single mother. But they didn't really mention that the single mother was the congresswoman from the district that he now represents. And I thought that was a little bit over the top. But he won anyway, so it worked out for him.
Now, we're going to be coming back to you over the following weeks for more of this sort of thing. And we also are inviting our listeners to submit any outlandish political statements that they've heard, like the one that Carl Paladino is being given a lot of flack for. And you'll have a new column out tomorrow. Will that be about this sort of thing?
It sort of will, yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping that Alaska will figure prominently, I hope.
By the way, I gave out a name wrong. The director of Older Women's League is Ashley Carson, not Ashley Gordon. Please forgive me. We have linked all of your previous columns on our show page at WNYC.org. And I'm going to be going on vacation, so you'll be talking to guest hosts for a while. But I look forward to returning and continuing this series with you. I don't know what title we're giving it. I like how political rhetoric in America has gotten so weird, but
politicians say the darndest things.
I think there's a political blog that has that kind of title.
Too big?
Yeah, we didn't want to steal it, but it's true. And Gail, thank you so much for being with us again. And somebody will be talking to you next week as well.
Looking forward to it.